that's one of the great themes of Easter, is that as the people of God, we are the people who get it back only better. And so what we'll be talking about really today is the it in that, get what back only better. And so there's so many stories about things that we've lost. We'll engage that a little bit. But before I do, I want to say that's what this table's about. These are the Easter baskets. What we did last year is we had this moment where Matt and I said, what's the deal with Easter baskets? And besides just getting candy for kids, I wanted to know what was the real deal behind it. What we found out was that people would engage, back in the ancient church, they would engage Lent, 40 days of fasting, of allowing something to die, you know. Man, that's so big, it's glorious. So I'm going to come over here for a little while. No, leave it on. Come on, take it. We're all making adjustments here. And so for 40 days, you give something up, because Jesus fasted for 40 days, and the reason he was fasting was for you and me, is that he started off his ministry fasting in the wilderness, because fasting is a form of prayer, and it's saying, I'm bringing up my physical body to the same level as my spiritual reality, which is, I need God for everything. And so Jesus engages this. So we looked into this, having really never done it. And then we found out that on Easter, whatever you gave up for Lent, you get it back on Easter Sunday. So I gave up coffee for 47 days, and I've gone, up until this point, I drank coffee at a minimum every day for 17 years. No, I never missed a day. Does that concern anybody? It's worked out, though. I'm like 100 years old. I think it's helping me look younger. It's a secret. So the idea of giving up caffeine, for me it was caffeine and coffee, was kind of absurd. And I'm like, I don't think I can physically do that. But I said, well, the point here is I'm going to give up coffee and I'm going to pray for my friends until Easter. And so I did it. And now it's finally here. And you know what it's done? It's done a couple things. It's reset everything. Because after a couple weeks, I realized I can live without coffee. And after the headaches went away, my body, you know, I realized, man, I'm naturally really tired. This really is a stimulant. I had no idea. It had probably stopped working in the mid-90s as a stimulant. And now it's back. So jacked up right now. Laugh, Mom. And so you get it back. And so the excitement today is like we have things, like my son gave up Eggos. He gave up waffles and pancakes and syrup, so he gets it all back. You know? Grace gave up ramen, so she gets all this ramen back. We have kids who gave up candy, and they get candy back. Because the dream for me became, I want Easter to be better than Christmas. Christmas is great, the incarnation of God. But Easter is where God, man, does all the work for us. And I want to celebrate that, not just give it a nod and say, okay, let's go to brunch, but I want to say, what are we getting back? And we're getting back, this is just a symbol, this coffee, right? But this is the hope. We're going to get everything we've ever lost we get back. Do you believe it? Yeah. I do. But I need your help to believe it. You need my help to believe it, because it's hard to believe in a world where we just lose things. Where there's death. Death finishes. Everything we do, we know it's going to come to an end. Even when you're in the middle of a vacation, you're like, oh no, it's Wednesday already. I'm leaving on Friday. You try to get that thought out of your head, right? Because everything's ending. But here's Jesus who says, things will never end. That's what Easter comes in. So we're going to look at the story where Jesus' disciples figured everything's ended. They've been following this guy named Jesus, who is all of a sudden, you don't think of him as like a rebel leader until he's crucified. Then you start going, wait, why did they kill him? Oh, because he's challenging all the political structures. Politics, but also religious structures. He's challenging their authority. He's speaking with authority. He's healing people. He's restoring sight to the blind. He's challenging everything, and now people will start to look to him instead of to others, and so people are mad. But up until then, you're like, cool, Jesus, you're so awesome, you're so loving. But then he's crucified, and now all of a sudden they're in a room. He's dead. He died on Friday, And they're in a room locked up because they're scared of the Jewish leadership. They're scared because they kind of started something big. And they're like, oh no, our all-powerful leader, we were fighting over who was going to get the best seat in the new palace. And now all of a sudden we're hiding in this room because it's very dangerous. This was too good to be true. It came to an end. Right? And then Jesus walks in. He's been dead for 3 days. He walks into this room where they're all scared. This will be on Luke chapter 24, verse 36, if you want to follow along or just listen. Luke chapter 24. We'll pick up the story. It's on page 738 if you're using the Bible provided. So there they are, they're scared, they're like, oh man, I don't know if I can go back to fishing after this. Are we going to make it? We're going to get killed. They're going to remember us in this locked room. And then Jesus appears. He walks in. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. Jesus breaks into the fear, breaks into all the chaos, everything that's out of their control, and he says, peace be with you. Peace. This kind of shalom. The kind of peace that protects your borders. The kind of peace that protects what you're trying to do in your life and grow and fertility and life. He's like, peace. That you wouldn't have to struggle with anything. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. See, I like the Bible because it's honest. They weren't like, oh yeah, Jesus, you said you'd rise again. Cool. No, they were like, what the? Whoa. Is this real? That was like a Mickey Mouse voice, but that's the voice I make when I'm most scared. I'd be scared. They were startled and frightened, and they thought they saw a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your mind? Because you died. Then he says, look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. Touch and see me. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe, see, I like that. I like hearing that the disciples of Christ still did not believe because that's honest. That's real. They weren't like beyond us and just believed. They were normal people like us, and they're like, it's really hard to believe. And Jesus says, yeah, the prerequisite is not that you have to believe everything and understand everything right and then walk into something better. No, the prerequisite is just say, dear Jesus, help me. I don't understand how you could possibly be here. Right. So they didn't understand it all. The same way I don't understand it all. But you don't have to get all the benefits. It's grace. It's good news. He says, what verse was that? Look at my hands and my feet, it is I myself. Touch me. And see, a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. Then he says, when Jesus had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet, and while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, they still don't believe, he says, I just love this scene. Jesus looks around and says, you guys have anything here to eat? These are the words of Jesus. Because Jesus is not joking. He's not just a spirit. It's not like some kind of hologram. He's like, I'm serious. I'm real. Do you have any food? And he's a real friend, because friends always ask for food when they come over. Whoa. They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Jesus ate a piece of broiled fish. That's good news. We'll get into it a little bit later, but I mean, it's good news because it means life after death is flesh and blood, and we eat. Yes. We're not playing harps on clouds, man. We are engaged in the world that God made. God didn't introduce death to the world. So we imagine, oh, we're going to be separated from the world. No, man. Heaven is bodies, it's flesh, it's broiled fish, and better. That's just what they had in their little safe house. And he said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. Then Jesus opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them this is what was written. The Messiah will suffer and rise on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Sorry. Think about the things we've lost. The promises, you're going to get it all back. Jesus shows up and says, whatever you've lost, you're going to get it all back. I have a vivid memory of one of the first things I ever really lost. I was about 4 or 5 years old. I had to endure a day of shopping with my mom, and the promise was I'd get a cap gun. And back in those days, this is like early 80s, cap guns looked real. And authenticity with a fake gun is pivotal for the experience, right? A real gun. And so, I know, this is horrifying probably now, but I'm just telling you, it came with the caps, and it was the kind of caps like a roll of red paper, and it would just roll through. Every time you pull the trigger, the hammer would hit this little piece of paper with a little gunpowder, and go, pop! I mean, it was, I don't know what kind of powder it was. Who cares? It was awesome. Pop! 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 But I got it, and my mom said, do not fire this in the car. Wait till we get home. I'm like, yes. So I'm driving with the gun that's out the window, because back in those days. I mean, I probably didn't have a seatbelt on either. I was probably in, like, the back of the car window, like, pointing a gun at people, because that's how things used to be. And I had the cap gun. I couldn't fire it. I had it out the window. And then I remember exactly where it was. Juanita Drive was in Seattle. Juanita Drive, this windy road, and then you have to do this hairpin turn to go down Holmes Point Drive. And it was right at that turn, something happened, and I dropped the gun out the window. That's okay. We pull into the fire station right there. And I was like, what do we got to get it? Cool. Right as we stop, that's not even a joke, a semi drove right over it. I was like, what's happened? Wait, what? So is there another one in the car somewhere? And it's like the lesson that your gun is gone, Adam. You're defenseless. What? But then there was a promise that we'll get you a new one. It's like, oh, I had to wait now. Didn't even get to play with it. Then I did get a new one. But guess what? It was the kind that had the plastic caps. So my caps didn't work. So I got a gun with no bullets. No idea that was just foretelling the future. It was very disappointing. I didn't get it back the same way. I know. It's such a sad story. But that is our experience. We had moments where there's like this great relationship we had, but then it's gone. And the hope that we'll ever get it back kind of goes to like, I got it back, but it's pros and cons. I remember the great job you had. I remember the car that was awesome. There's things that you've had that we've lost. Or remember friends that we've had that we've lost. And it's easy just to get accustomed to loss. And Jesus breaks in, and the first thing he says, I want to give you back peace. I want to give you back. In this life, we get torn apart, and we lose things. And he says, I first and foremost want to say peace to you. That the fact that Jesus rose again means that there's real peace available to you. It means that there's at least one person that death did not touch. And that one person is going to share it with us. There's this, in Matthew 19, I'll just tell you the story. Jesus talks to this rich young ruler. And basically Jesus says, you got to sell all your goods. Sell all your goods and follow me. Or get rid of them. Give them away. And the guy leaves. He leaves sad. And then the disciples say, who can be saved? If that's the requirement, if that's what you're asking. And Jesus says, with man it's impossible. With God all things are possible. Then Peter says, well, what do we get? We've left our homes. We've left our jobs. We've given up money and opportunity to follow you and hang out with you, Jesus, because you're so cool and you have all this power. But we've given up all these things. What do we get? And Jesus says, in the next world, you will get 100-fold. It's in Matthew chapter 19. You can check it out if you don't believe it. He says, you will get 100-fold, 100 times the houses, 100 times the money, 100 times the opportunity. You will get it all back. This is the words of Jesus. So if we believe this at all, we got to believe what Jesus said. And he promises to his disciples, and he promises to us, you will get it all back. But here's the problem. Have I given up everything to follow God? It says, like, those who have left all these opportunities for my sake will get it back. I don't know if I've done anything for the sake of God. I don't know if I've lost things because they were just taken from me. When I think about it, I've lost a lot of things because I was pulling them out the window. I was being careless with them. I've lost a lot of things because I just thought it would be more fun to go to a Super Bowl party than go to work. So when I lose my job, I'm like, dear God, give me a job. Where are you? I've lost relationships because I'm selfish. So do I get these things back? Even though I have been unfaithful with them, I've been lazy with them, I've been just selfish with them, do I get that back? Do I get back the stuff that, even the stuff like I didn't leave, I'm always looking out for myself. So how do I get 100-fold back? And this is the beauty of the resurrection. You get the work and all the stuff of Jesus. This is the hardest part to believe. It's too good to be true. You have wasted opportunities. You have been selfish. So have I. So when Jesus says, I'm going to give it all back to you, what does he mean? He means, I'm going to give it all back to you, all that Jesus earned. Jesus was the best dad. Jesus was the best mom. Jesus was the best person in a relationship. Jesus was always faithful to do what he said. Jesus loved the poor. Jesus had always loved God. And he says, this is why I died for you, but I had to rise again. Otherwise, it's just a dude who died. But because he defeated death, it's because he defeated death and it's God, he says, now I can give it to you. I can give it to you. And it's for all those who just say, Jesus, I need it. I don't even know all that I need, but will you help me? He's like, yeah. It's like going to a party. If someone invites you to a party, you say, okay. If you don't want to go, fine, you don't go. If you want to live with the stuff that you deserve for yourself and the good things you've done, fine, live with it. I don't think it's enough. But Jesus says, I've risen from the dead, so the first and foremost, I give you peace. I will give you back the peace that you don't deserve, the peace that you've lost, the peace that you've squandered, or others, or worse, others have taken it from you. I've had stuff stolen. But Jesus says, I have it all, and I give it to you. And so I give you peace. I give you back more peace than you could have ever gotten on your own. And I need peace. So first thing he says is, peace be with you guys. You don't have the power to get peace, but Jesus says, and he's given it to you. And so whether things go good or bad, we walk through it with the peace of God, the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that one day, when he's going to restore all things, he's going to give it back, he's not going, well, let me only give you this, I'll give you a few things. He says, I give you all the inheritance of Jesus Christ. You're in. It's like your best friends, Paul Allen. And he dies, and they're like, Adam, we want to give you all Paul Allen stuff. What? No way! Okay. That's what I'm presenting to you. Only Jesus is better than Paul Allen. I don't know if you know who Paul Allen is. My buddy works for him. He's co-founder of Microsoft. Super rich. Anyway, that's something. Jesus is better. He'll restore you peace. But then we get to the part where... How do I know this is real? See, the disciples looked and they said, how do I know I'm not just seeing? Maybe we're all hallucinating. Maybe we all drank the same thing. So like 12 of us are all hallucinating the exact same thing, which I've never heard of happening before, where everyone hallucinates, but the same thing. But maybe this is just a ghost or whatever. And then Jesus says, touch my hands. Touch me. Look at me. Give me some fish. I want to eat with you. I'm showing you that I'm really human. And then he breaks down, he says, look, I'll show you in the Old Testament, this whole thing is about me. And he opened up their minds that they might understand. I started thinking, how do we know? How do we know Jesus rose from the dead? How do we know? And I look at what Jesus himself calls the church. He says, the church is my body. And so on Sundays, we get together, there's a group of us that get together, and you know what, every week, I can see the marks in Jesus' hands. I can see the death because all of us have been touched by death. I mean, I don't know if you know Joe, but Joe has been touched by death. Johnny's been touched by death. Alec has been touched by death. Anthony has been touched by death. Lindsay and John have been touched by death. We come and we see the fact that we've all been wounded. We've all been hurt. We all probably shouldn't be here. And we sure shouldn't be happy. We should all be totally destroyed by the big things that have happened in our lives that have submarined a good trajectory, that for no reason have stolen and ruined things. There's been fires. There's been death. But we come on Sundays, and I see, how is it that you're still here smiling? Because Jesus is there. Because Jesus is in Brett. And Brett has overcome these things. Not because Brett's strong, not because, oh, you're so good, but because Jesus is there. And so I see the resurrection every week. I see the fact that Jesus is in your hands. We all bear the marks. Every one of you has a story. Every one of you has a sin. And it's not to be diminished. It's serious, dark stuff. And somehow we've overcome. We've overcome because Jesus rose from the dead. He says, look, these are my hands and these are my feet. These are my people. Then we take the Lord's Supper. And he's given us like this bread and this wine. He says, remember it. Then he opens up your mind. He opened up their minds to see. 2 weeks ago, I went to WrestleMania with Megan and Barrett. The last time I watched wrestling was like 1988 or something. It was right after I dropped my gun. So I'm not into wrestling. I've always been like, oh, it's so fake.
I mean, obviously it's fake. What's the allure? I don't get it.
But I thought, let's just go to this thing. We got free tickets, so I went with Grace. She's not in there. Then I got nervous because it's 70,000 people that are like, it's intense. We got in there. The whole place is packed. And then within 5 or 6 minutes, I'm like, I'm telling you, the Lord opened my mind to it. All of a sudden, my mind, in fact, I'm telling you right now, I would spend the money to go to WrestleMania more than any of the European circus, like Lanuba stuff, or a movie. Like, this was pure entertainment, you guys. This was spectacular. I mean, the camera work, and then these dudes and girls are flying around. It doesn't even matter if it's fake. The storylines were amazing. What they were doing was amazing. I mean, they're like twisting in the air. They're like killing themselves for us. And we're like, yeah! People are singing songs without songbooks. They all know the songs. They know what the guy says. And they're all screaming it together. I start screaming it together. I'm like, yeah! Grace said, Dad, chill out. I'm like, no! This is a huge movement. My mind was open to WrestleMania, you guys. We all got to go next time. Amazing. I know. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Sounds just like the gospel. And that's what all our friends are like. I love church. Church is so good. They're like, okay, it's wrestling. Okay. But I'm telling you, when you get in the presence of others, in the presence of God, you see what we've overcome because the work of Christ, because he's alive, your mind starts to go, oh, I start to see it. I start to see hope where there's nothing but despair. I start to see love where everyone else can only see anger. And in all the broken parts of our world that when things are broken, we don't want to look at it. But we're the people who can look at it because we don't have to have all the answers. We have Jesus. And your mind starts to open up. And there's confidence there. Jesus rose. And as we cry out to him and say, hey, I want your works for my, I give you all my stuff. I want you to be a better parent. I need you to be a better pastor. I need you to be a better whatever. You start to open your mind. You start to see it everywhere. And you're like, this makes sense. I mean, for some of you who don't come to church all the time, don't you always wonder, why do they go to this thing all the time? It's kind of a bummer. No, man, it's WrestleMania. You're just looking at the wrong screen. All right, I'm a believer. He'll bring back peace. He gives you back this kind of, this mind. He gives you back, he answers the question, how do you know? You start to see it. And then finally, he gives you his power. At the end, he says, I want to give you back power for life. Wait until you're clothed by the Holy Spirit. That this fact that this resurrection happened, it means now Jesus has given us his life, and there's now a source of, when I think of hope and power, I think of energy. It's probably our biggest problem. We don't have energy to do the things that we really want to do. I have so many projects that I can't get to. I just don't have the energy or time. I want to be such a better person. I just don't have the energy or time. But the Holy Spirit is the power of God, Jesus Christ. He gives you energy to start living out the person that you were created to be. and says, don't do anything anymore without it. Wait for it. But what does that mean? It actually means probably do less. That's good news. I know it's like at first it's like, do less. Well, that's not right. No, it's actually good news. I mean, wouldn't it be nice if you came home from work and your spouse said, hey, do less. All right? I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to say anything else. I'll do it. Most of us wouldn't even know how.
No.
And this power from on high, this resurrection has given us the spirit of Jesus Christ now, and it is real. And here's how it works. Who's been snowboarding? All right, so snowboarders. When you first go snowboarding, you think it's going to be like skateboarding because it's like similar, or surfing. And so you're like trying to like move. You think that, and all you end up doing is falling forward or falling backward. Like, I want to go this way, and I'm trying to go this way, and I just keep going the wrong, like off a cliff. And so then you're so scared, and you're usually on a bunny slope. And so you're scared you're going to hit a five-year-old who's racing by with no skates. They're just like they grew up in Germany or something. And you're like, no! And so you stop. And I'm like athletic at this stuff, but I couldn't get it the first day. And then I heard an instructor, because I wasn't going to pay for instruction. Because it's just going down a mountain. What do I need to pay someone to tell me how to go down a mountain? But I heard him say something. He's like, yeah, wherever you want to go, just kind of point to it. So I tried that. I still kept falling, but then I understood. It was do less. The mountain is going down. The snow is slippery. All the hard work is going to happen. Literally, to snowboard. By going like this, it distributes the weight just enough, and it'll magically pull you in that direction. And the more you can relax, the more fun it is. Then I want to go this way, and then you just go that way. Once I learned that, I was like, oh. Then you get cocky, and you're like, shh, and then you're spraying snow all over five-year-olds. But what's funny then is, I'm like, oh, it's like less about me trying to control it and let the mountain do the work. And it's just where you want to go. And in this life of resurrection power, it literally is, it's hard for us to believe, but God and Jesus saying, where do you want to go? Point to it. Ask him my name and I'll give it to you. And we're like, well, I don't want to ask for this. No, it's just point, please. And as long as you can't just point and go like this, I'll be going by you all day long. I'll be on the lift watching you scoot down the mountain like this because you got to be in control. Or you can just stand there and go, I want to go that way, Lord. Or you can try to go that way and go, is everything so hard? This mountain is stupid. I hate skiing. Oh, I'm not a snowboarder. Say all the lies you want. Who cares? I'm going to be skiing. I'll just be waving to you. Go, oh, that's a bummer. What a waste of a lift ticket. What do I care? I'm skiing. But the invitation is, no, I do care because Jesus rose. I care for you guys. I try to tell you, and you might listen or you might not. I don't know. But I'm telling you, this power of resurrection is now you get to start thinking like you're never going to die. Now you get to start thinking in a way where it's not like, how am I going to calculate the risks and do all these things? It's like, what does your heart really desire? God wants to give it to you. Now, it might be a lifetime, and you might not get it until the very end, but he's working you there. And all you got to do is say, dear Jesus, I'm trusting you. I want to go that way. See what happens. Right? We found this to be true, haven't we? If you haven't, I'm just telling you, found it to be true. I mean, even this place was me like going, all right, God, I don't like a lot of the other churches, but I want a church like this. And here we are. Here we are. Isn't it fun? I like it. It's better than doing stuff I don't like. This is because Jesus rose from the dead. Let me read you. I have to prove it, right? John chapter 20. At the end, Thomas comes in a week late. And Thomas says, I don't believe it. And all the disciples are like, oh, we already saw the marks, but that's cool. So then Thomas does the same thing. We think, oh, doubting, don't be a doubting Thomas. I'm like, no, Thomas is just like all the other disciples. He's normal. He's a human. You should doubt it. When someone dead shows up in a locked room, you should say, whoa, at least So Thomas is cool, man. Don't worry if you're doubting Tom. Good, you're a thinking person. God said, I gave you a brain. It's very good. Use it. So Thomas then touches, and then his response is, oh God, my Lord. Again, doesn't have all the answers, just knows, I believe this. And then at the end of it, here's what John says. Chapter 20. Thomas says, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believed. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but they are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is what it's all about. We believe that our life has just begun because Jesus' death and resurrection. We believe that it's just begun. We are just now starting to learn our superpowers. We're learning how to love impossible to love people. We're learning how to walk through things that look like despair. We're learning how to do that now. Like, this isn't the end. This isn't it. This is just the beginning. And the whole point of it is to give you life. Jesus didn't resurrect and then take off and be like, whew, that was awkward. But he came back and he said, hey, I did it for you. Do you want it? I want some peace. I want some confidence. I want my mind to be opened up to realities. I want some power to be able to engage life for real. And here it is. Just simply cry out and say, Jesus, help me. I want it. And then see what happens. All right. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for dying. Thank you for doing what I can't do, what I don't want to do. Thank you that you apply all your work to me. That's a pretty good deal. I ask that your Holy Spirit would bring back to life, or give us at least the promise of resurrection in all the areas that we've given up, all the areas that have died, all the friends that we've lost. We pray, give us the hope of seeing them again. Give us the hope of dreams lost, restored. Give us the hope that who we know we really are inside and who we want to be is not dead. It's not gone. It's not too late. That by the work of Christ and our faith in him, you start to restore these things so we can live life, created for life. Bless us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.